In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about communion this morning. Starting with verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Verse 27. "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." It says for us to take part in communion to remember. To remember. Really, it's to help us never to forget what the Lord Jesus did for us. How gracious is our Father. He always points us back to the cross. From Genesis to Revelations, the cross of Calvary. There were sacrifices. That's why there were sacrifices, the blood, representing what Jesus would do in the Old Testament. And after Jesus came, it was done with. The final price was paid. But communion is for us to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But it also says for us to examine our hearts. So before we take part in communion this morning, let's check our hearts. You might say, Pastor, what are we looking for? You look in your heart and see if there's anything between you and God. And if there is, just ask forgiveness and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. And when you ask for forgiveness, it says the Father remembers it no more. Can you imagine? He remembers it no more. Now, we have these computers here that can recollect things from years past, from grandma's time to the end of time. But you know what? God remembers it no more. And that's who we go with. So let's just take a few minutes to search our own hearts. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. Look, down there. Amen. And we pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and bless your heart this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you this morning, that you won't leave the same. That you won't lead the same, because God can make all things new. Amen. We do appreciate you guys. Just a matter of note, tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday we picked up, and you can see it in your bulletin, $761.33. So we want to thank you for giving. We want to thank you for obeying the Word of God in your tithe and offerings to the church. And we thank you for that. And I do want to pray a blessing over you. Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless your people in their obedience unto you, Lord God. Just as you multiplied the fish and the bread, Lord God, when it was given to you, Father, multiply what they've given unto you this day, Lord God. Bless them beyond measure, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a matter of note, next Sunday, We are going to be picking up an offering. That's not your tithe, just an offering for Gail and Leonard every year. They used to do it in Kaplan, and I think someone else is doing it, but now in Gaydon. How many years has it been? 9th or 10th year. What they do is, and next week I know y'all going to share a little bit about that, but what they do is they cook Thanksgiving dinners. They use the Civic Center, the city of, or the town of Gaydon lets them use the Civic Center, and they cook turkeys, everything you want for Thanksgiving. Everything you want. And so anyone that would like to a meal on that day, like if they're by themselves or can't, sometimes it's just for fellowship for them to go. They cook meals. How many meals y'all gave out last year? About 160 plate lunches they gave out. They go and they give them. They bring it to elderly people that are shut in, So next Sunday, we're going to pick up an offering. And you might say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us this Sunday? So you can pray about it and ask God what He wants you to give to help meet the needs of the people in the community. And so that'll be next Sunday. We'll do that. Also, I just want to make mention, December the 8th is going to be our 4th anniversary of our church. 4 years. Can you imagine? It's like I'm thinking, I remember when we were driving, coming to Ax EJ, and then we could use their home. It was like, oh my God. And if they would have said no, they had to pray about it, and they called us and said yes. And so God knew. But it's going to be 4 years at the end of November. But on December the 8th, we're going to have our anniversary of our church. You might say, what are we going to have? We're going to have Leonard's going to be cooking a hen and sausage gumbo. And we're going to have service here. And then right after service, we'll go to the old library, which was our old church at one time for 9 months or so. And so we'll have dinner there, and we'll explain more as time goes on. But just mark it on your calendar. Mark it on your calendar, December the 8th, the 4th anniversary of our church to be here. You might say, well, Pastor, can we invite people? You sure can. We're going to have enough food for probably the whole town. So, you can invite whoever you want. You can invite your friends, your enemies, all those people. And so mark it on your calendar. Also, a matter of note, this Wednesday coming, I'm going to be speaking a little bit on prayer, which I will do today also, but a little bit on prayer, and we're going to be praying for our community. So I want to invite you to come. There's some things I need to share with you as a church just to fine-tune our prayers and hit the bullseye every time. And so the Word of God gives us some scriptures on what to do and how to address in the Father. And so I want to invite you to come. That's Wednesday, starting this Wednesday for the next 3 Wednesdays in November. I know we have numerous birthdays. We can see in your bulletin, I know it was Jess, my daughter's birthday, the 1st. Allie Landry on the 9th. Allie Hargrave. I looked at Miss Bev and I said, Allie Landry. But, man, okay. Y'all know who that was. Now, this is a big one for Rita. Ronnie Duyon, the 13th. Marjorie East on the 16th. And also Johanna, I'm not going to say her last name, on the 16th. What? Landry, yeah. Johanna Landry on the 16th. Everybody's a Landry. Everybody's a Landry. Okay. My mother's maiden name was Landry. Miss Eva, her birthday's on the 24th. And Miss Jane, her birthday's on the 24th. And also, we have some great, great anniversaries. I mean, this is fabulous. Randall and Cindy Kibbedow, my Lord, their anniversary. How many years? Great years. She doesn't know. Okay. Many, many years. What is it? 28? Okay. And then it'll be Jelaine and I's anniversary on the 19th. And we look forward to that. Many, many great years. Great years. Amen. Any other? 25 years for us. 25 years. Can't believe. We have 3 children, a great son-in-law, and a fabulous grandchild. Great, great, great. We're excited about Christmas because we want to get her everything. Go to Toys R Us, we'll just get everything. I want one of everything from 0 to 6 months. Or well, by that time, it'll be 8 months. Everything. Doesn't matter. Just load it up. Just load it up. I'll bring what I can and deliver the rest later. You know? That's how, hey man, we're just excited about, you know, the blessings of God, the blessings of God. And we just love her, I tell you. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Today I'm going to talk to you about God being a mountain-moving God. God, your God, being a mountain-moving God. God is in the mountain-moving business for His people. He knows exactly what to do to remove any and every mountain that comes our way. Because we don't know, as we gave our hearts to the Lord, even, you know, whatever, that we have a God that cares about us. That the things that we go through, because, you know, honestly, we don't know unless the Lord would reveal to us, and He could do that. But honestly, tomorrow, we don't know what life beholds for us tomorrow. We might have a little inkling about dinner right now, you know. We know if we're going to eat out. We know what we're going to order. We know if we're going home. We know if we're going to whatever. We know, you know, about dinner about and maybe tonight. But honestly, God is the only one that really knows the future. And I'll tell you this statement also. Oh, Slewfoot doesn't know your future. Only God has the power. Now, you might say, well, what about all these people that can predict? But only if it comes from God the Father that they're prophetically moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you have some that are moved by demon spirits. And they'll try to tell you future through all kinds of stuff. Don't ever go to those people. Don't ever call those numbers because it's ungodly. Ungodly. But God knows the future, and He knows tomorrow what's going to come before us, or next week, or next year, or 10 years from now. He knows the future for your life and for my life. He knows what hurts us, you know. He knows those things because He is our Father. He has made us who we are. And so we have to realize this, that no matter what comes up, the Father has allowed it to come. Because we're Christians, we serve Him, and only He is in charge of us. So He allows it to come to the forefront, no matter what it is, okay? And we are to look to Him to solve the problem. We are to look to Him to solve the problem. We can't look at ourselves. We can't look to other people. We have to look to Him, the mountain-moving God that He is, to solve the problem that is before us, whatever it is. Mountains can be all kinds of things. It can be obstructions. It can be setbacks. It could be stumbling blocks. It could be hindrances, limitations, barriers, difficulties, and various forms of challenges that we face as believers. It could be spiritual. It could be physical. It could be material, mental, financial, whatever shape, size, or color it is. If it's in front of us and it's stopping us from serving our God, and it's stopping us from moving on, it is a mountain to us. And most of us, honestly, we can't climb the mountain. And honestly, we don't want to. Now, we try. We certainly try, though. And boy, we try to get up, but you know, we will fall back. And so what we got to do is look to Him, who is the problem solver, who is the one that can take that mountain and split it in two and give us a path to walk through it. He is the one that can help us either go around it or above it. However He wants to solve it, you see, He can solve it. However He wants to do it, He can do it. Because things will rise up. But you see, we know that our Father is in charge of all things in our lives. Because we have personally gone to our Father and said, Lord, I acknowledge that You are the Savior of the world. You are God, You are the God of the universe. You are my Father. Lord, I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. We accept Him in our hearts and we say, now, Lord, Your will be done. And He takes us as His children. And when things come our way, when mountains are in front of us, He is the problem solver to get over that mountain or to get around it. And so we have to follow what the Holy Spirit says in solving that thing. Finding the mind of God through His Word, through prayer, seeking Him, honoring Him, and saying, Lord, what do You want? Lord, how do You want to solve it? How do You want us to get over that thing? Lord, You are in charge. And sometimes we may have to wait a while before we do anything. But you see, we take the first step in giving it to Him and saying, Lord, You're in charge. Lord, You're in charge. Father, You are in charge of this thing. You will solve this thing however You want to do it. Lord, give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Show me what to do. He is the problem solver. In Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 14, it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Go back to the other verse. Remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Keep that up right here. Go to the next verse. I'm sorry. Go to the next. Howbeit this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. Now go back to the other verse 20, the last part. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Here we had the disciples, and Jesus had sent them out to do the work of the Father. And it says that, you know, a man came with his son that had some problems. Throw himself in the fire, something just wrong with him. He was demon-possessed, basically. Because that's what he cast out the demon. And the disciples prayed over him, and nothing happened.
That's the mountain in front. They did, you know, they tried to do it, but nothing would happen. So they took, or he went to Jesus and said, look, your disciples prayed, but nothing happened. And Jesus prayed with him. The demon came out because they knew who they were messing with then. The big honcho, God the Father, in the flesh upon the earth. And they had to obey, and they left. And the disciples went to him and said, why couldn't we do that? And he said, it's your faith. Lack of faith. See, the reason God will allow mountains to rise up in all of our lives is to do one thing. It's to build our faith in Him. That's interesting. You know, we think, you know, with our children or grandchildren now, we don't want anything bad to come even around them. I mean, you know, we want to protect them. We don't want, you know, hurt to come in any way. And God doesn't want that for us either. But God will allow mountains to rise up, things to rise up in front of us so that our faith will rise up with Him. Not for His personal gain at all. He can't gain anything from us. But it's for us as individuals so that our faith will rise up. That our faith will rise up. That we will be able to believe Him for anything. That we will be able to believe God that He can bring healing to our bodies. That we can believe God that God can save the souls of this town. The people, that He can draw them in. That we can believe God for finances to build the kingdom of God upon the earth. The things that need to be done. That we can believe God for the impossible. That God can make it happen no matter what we think today. We look back, Jelaine and I, 4 years ago, we were not where we are today. By far. You might say, well, what? Just the faith in us to believe. And in 4 more years, we'll look back and say, we are not where we were 4 years ago. Because of the things of God that are happening in our lives to make us believe for the impossible. And what's happening is our faith is turning into what God wants it to be. And we're believing God for what God wants upon this place. You see, God is building your faith so you can believe God for what He wants to do in your home and in your family. He's building your faith. You might say, well, building my faith, I think I'm being destroyed. I know we often think that. We don't want pain. Who wants it? Not me. Who wants a needle stuck in their arm? Not me. But sometimes it has to be done. So you see, we don't like pain. But God will allow certain mountains to be built or to come our way to build our faith in Him, to believe Him for the supernatural. Because you see, it says in the last days that God, not man, it says in the last days that God, not man, it says in the last days that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh who wants it. How can He pour it out? Is that we believe for the supernatural to happen. We believe that God can turn the dead places and bring back grass upon those areas. That He can bring life back in the dead places of our lives. The places that we have messed up. The places that we have destroyed by what we've done. That God, in His mercy and His grace, can bring back life. And not just regular life. God goes a step further and He says, abundant life. Oh my God. Oh my God. Abundant life in Him. That He can move those things, build our faith to believe, and that as we believe in what He did at Calvary's cross and nothing else, We believe in what He did at Calvary's cross and nothing else. That what He did solved every problem of the world, solved every sin problem of the world, which is the root cause of every problem anyway. That God, Jesus at the cross, when He was there dying upon it, was not thinking of self, but was thinking of you and I today. And saying, I know what they'll go through, but I'll pay the price. I'll give my life as the Father has asked me to do, to give my life so that they can live that abundant life. That their faith can grow in me so that they can believe for greater and mightier things than ever before. An outpouring of the Spirit of God is greater than anything, my people. An outpouring of the Spirit of God upon a people is greater than anything, my God, that money can buy. The Holy Spirit can never be bought or bargained with. Never. All God looks at for His pouring out of His Spirit is the heart of a man or a woman that says, Lord, I want You. And He says, I'm coming. And look, calling upon His name. Can you imagine as the thief was on the cross? And he said, Jesus, remember me. That's all he said, basically. He didn't go into a song. He didn't quote scriptures. He didn't say anything. He just said, Lord, remember me. And the faith in Him, he had enough faith. My God, when that man, that thief died on that cross, he went into the portals of heaven. Now the other one did not. From what Scripture says. And I know Scripture's always right. All he said was, remember me. The faith in Him to believe for salvation, simple faith, is that same faith that we need to believe in Him to tear that mountain apart so that we can walk through. Because you see, what the devil tries to do is put mountains in front all the way around us and say, you're blocked in. There's no way out. And honestly, sometimes we believe it. Huh? We do, sometimes. And hey, let's all raise our feet and hands. Huh? We all do at times. Oh, yeah. Oh, we just believe it. Yes, I'm stuck. Then all of a sudden, just like when Jesus died, it says the curtain that was between the holy place and the most holy place, 6 inches thick from top to bottom, tore from top to bottom. And it says that the rocks cracked and broke open. My God. My God, that's the power of our God. To believe for the impossible. You might say, Pastor, I don't know if I can. One day at a time. He's not asking you to believe for a miracle 10 years from now. He's just asking you to believe for today. Simple faith for today. Give me what I need today. Give me my daily bread physically and spiritually today. Give me what I need today. Give me the simple faith I need today, Lord, as I look to You. For Your leading and guidance from the Holy Ghost. Often when we're faced with such a circumstances in our lives, rather than looking to God immediately, we complain. Nobody? Okay. Amen. Okay. We complain. We moan and we groan to our friends. Now, I know I'm telling the truth now, because I've been there. And God still has a sense of humor, because He helps us still. Because you know why? He loves us and cares about us. We get down in the dumps. We lose our faith. We ask God, where is He? While all the time the Scripture says, we should bring our mountains to God so that He can move them from us. We need to bring them to Him so that He can move it from us. Oh yeah, I need some Kleenex. We need to give Him that mountain. All those things.
The kind of praying that I want to specifically talk about is the kind that moves mountains. No man can budge. And that's it. The devil knows that the things that rise up, and honestly, sometimes we do it ourselves, huh? We make that mountain by the things that we do sometimes. Wrong choices and whatever. We've all built our own mountains. We've let it come up. But sometimes even the devil puts them there, and all those things are in front of us. All those things are in front of us. The type of praying that moves mountains is the prayer of faith. The Lord says in Scripture, in John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. My God. That's simply putting your faith in what God says, him. And letting him remove it however he wants to remove it. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. My God, whatever it is. That God will remove that thing. So that you can get to the other side. And you can walk on the other side. And you know what? Till you hit your other mountain. But you see, you'll be better off when you hit that next one than you were to the first one. And your faith is building every time. Just like, can you imagine, when the Ark of the Covenant was finally coming into Jerusalem. And David, you know, every 3 or 4 feet, it says that they would sacrifice. They would build an altar. They had to bring it the way God said to bring it. Remember? Remember the first time they didn't and somebody died? And all kinds of stuff happened. But now David went in Scriptures and found out how to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. And it says that God says it shouldn't be upon a cart. It had to be carried, and it had to be carried by the Levites. It had to be brought in, the priest. And so sacrifices needed to be taken place every 6 cubit feet. And so every time they'd build an altar, and they would sacrifice the animal, and the blood would flow. And you might say, how gruesome. You know that was representing? That was representing our Lord. The blood. The blood. From Genesis 1:1 or so. The blood. And it says that they sacrificed. And David, when he saw that the Ark of the Covenant was coming in, that he got down and he started to dance before his God. He was so excited. So excited that he obeyed. How many times has God spoken to you something and you obeyed? It's like God just does something on the inside of you. You know, you rest assured in His. You know His voice now. You have faith to believe that what He said He would do, He will do. And David got off that throne and started dancing. His wife got upset, but that's okay. He was pleased. The father was pleased with it, dancing before him, praising God as they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God into Jerusalem. You see, it takes the presence of God to face that mountain. In Genesis chapter 1, go to verse 2, it says this, Genesis 1:2. Got it? Genesis 1:2. Let's see. Okay. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. This is the difference. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's what made the difference with our earth. That's what will make a difference with your mountain. When the Spirit of God moved upon your mountain. When the Spirit of God moves upon your problem, when the Spirit of God moves upon your situation, it changes. Look, the earth was without form. It was void. Now you might say, well, did God make it that way from the beginning? No. You can read it in scriptures and you can see. I can't get into that, but there's some things. God never makes anything void and without form. God is the God of life. Think about it. When He made Adam and Eve, what did He do? He breathed the breath of life into them, which is us. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters at that time and changed the earth the way it was in at that state, and changed it. When we're facing something in our lives, what we need to do is get with our God and let Him intervene. Let Him intervene. You might say, well, the way I'm going to face that problem may not be the way He will face it. That's right. That's why you and I need the Spirit of God. That's why you and I need the wisdom of God. That's why you and I need what God has to tell us so that it can be solved. Don't you think God knows how to get rid of your mountain that's standing between you and Him? He knows what to do. He knows how to get rid of it. He knows how to tear it down. He knows what to do. So we need the Spirit of God to come upon that situation and to show us what to do. But I tell you what, it takes time with God to find out the mind of God, to find out what burdens God, to find out what He wants us to do. It takes Him showing us, but it takes some time with Him. You might say, I don't have time. Make time. We all have 24 hours except last night. Once a year. Ooh, boy, we treasured that hour. My God. Man, y'all were early this morning. Very early. That's good. Good job. Take some time and He will show you. The Spirit of God will come upon that situation. And if you're praying and God says nothing, wait. Wait till He speaks. Wait till He gives you wisdom. Wait till He tells you what to do. Because we don't want to make a wrong decision. Now, we don't want to wait too long. Now, when God speaks, we need to do in His timing. But that mountain that is set before you, when God tells you what to do, you know what that means? It's not you speaking anymore to that mountain. But it's God now. And when God speaks, just as He moved by the Spirit of God upon the face of the waters, and He made and created the things that need to be created by the Spirit of God, that Spirit that speaks from you, the Spirit of God that speaks to you and speaks to that mountain, the mountain has to go. Because the root source of it, we know, is the enemy. And God, Jesus, has conquered the enemy already. It's done with. It says in Scripture, when Jehoshaphat looked out of his window, you can read it in the Old Testament, and he saw the armies coming, that he didn't look out and say, oh no, they're coming. Oh no, they're coming. I'm not saying that all problems are easy to solve. A lot of them are very hard. That's why we need God. But it says that when he looked out and saw the armies of the enemy coming against him, that he turned to the Lord and he said, Father, I put my eyes on you. Lord, what do you want? And when he went look out of that window again, he saw what God saw. When you look out of your window and you see your mountain, are you seeing it the way God sees it? Or the way the human flesh sees it? You might say, well, is it wrong to... I understand looking out. Some things are hard. But when he looked out that window the next time, and he saw, yes, there's many enemies of the devil out there, but he saw God's army. And God's army outnumbered the enemy's army by far. And let me tell you, when you're facing something and you see it the way God sees it, and your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, your simple faith is in him, you're seeing it the way God sees it. And when we see it the way God sees it, victory is ours all the time. Not just one here, one there, and maybe over here, but every time. When Jehoshaphat got the mind of Christ and he saw what looked like it would be horror, but when he saw, when God opened his eyes to see in the supernatural, it changed him. We need to see the way, we need to see the thing the way God sees it. That he is more, that we are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. That God is the source. That God is the source of all the things that we need, and Jesus is the means to get it, and no other door. Only we need to look to him to give us the strength, the power, and the authority to go and conquer that thing. Whatever it is, whatever rises up, that he makes us more than conquerors through him. Through him. Remember this, and I'm going to close because it's... God is the mountain mover, and we are the instruments. God is the mountain mover. Not God might be, but God is the mountain mover. And we are his instruments. Uses human beings to bring the light of him, the world, to the people. To bring the light to the people. Praise God. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, let's just pray, people. Just start praying. Just lift your hands and worship unto your God. He cares so much about for you. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Lord God, thank you. Father, Lord, we just worship you. As your hands are lifted before your God, saying, Father, it's not upon, my eyes are not on me anymore, but Father, my eyes are upon you and you alone. Whatever problem, whatever situations before you, give it to him. Just give it to him. Say, Father, it's yours. Father, it's yours. Father, it's yours. Father, we give you every situation, every problem. Lord, we know that you can solve it, however you want to do it, Lord. And Father, we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to ask you an important, as you just prayed, I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus this morning? Is he the Lord of your life this morning? Do you know him? If you don't know Jesus and you would like to give your heart to him and saying, Father, from this day forward, I want to serve you with everything within me. If you would like to do that this morning, would you indicate to me that you'd like to give your heart to him? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray this prayer together. I know there's someone here that... Father, say, Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept what you did on Calvary's cross for me. I give you my heart and I give you my life. And I ask you to lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you pray that for the first time, remember this, that the Holy Spirit of God the Father is writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The best book in the world, besides the Bible. Those two, the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord God, I pray that you would bless them, that you would protect them, that you would lead them and guide them. And Father, help them to serve you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord God. Be with them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, Jelaine and I, we love you guys. We thank God for you. And we ask that you just serve God with all your heart this week. We appreciate you. Have a great week this week. You are dismissed.